fine till you're fined or you're banned. But you gotta get a gimmick if you wanna get a hand.
And welcome everyone to another episode of All Things Trek that has nothing to do with Star Trek, not even a little bit. There's a little bit of Star Wars in this episode, but there is no Star Trek whatsoever.
Not in the least.
Yeah, but I'm still Orin.
I'm still Grace, okay. I think.
Well, more or less. And so, Grace, we already told our listeners last week on the main show that you were going to the Emerald City Comic-Con because you used a time machine to find out all the answers to a trivia contest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did not go to Emerald City Comic-Con this year. I could not find the funds, and I was also very busy. But one thing that I did go to, and that's what the show is about, and Grace, you were there with me. Was the Emerald City Comic-Con burlesque show.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that this is sort of a strange venue to be talking about a Seattle-based performance piece because, you know, as far as I know, I only know one of our listeners specifically even lives in Seattle. So, you know, this being the internet, people will be listening to this from all over the country and theoretically outside the country. I don't know if we have that sort of international appeal yet, but we're working.
If you do, reach out to us. We'd love to hear about it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
However, since I no longer have a burlesque review column, that I used to have one of those. That was really cool. It wasn't really a column. It was like just a website that I would publish my reviews on. But I don't have that anymore. But I really liked this show. So I wanted to talk about it and give
it. It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and give it a little bit of publicity. And hopefully maybe some people who will hear of it, and because there's going to be another one next year. So if you're in Seattle, or at least they said it was going to be another one next year, in Seattle, it's definitely worth seeing. So Grace, what was your, I guess I should probably start off with a quick explanation of what burlesque is, since not everyone knows that, especially if they don't live in Seattle and New York.
Yeah. Just in case.
All right. So burlesque is, it is a performance piece that typically involves a strip, although not always. It generally involves some kind of sexiness aspect to it. The original meaning of the term just meant to make fun of. If you were burlesquing something, you were making fun of it. And I believe that the original burlesque houses that were known for their strip teases were started back in the 20s and 30s, as I recall, maybe even earlier than that.
Yeah. These days it just generally refers to parodying something through strip tease.
Yes.
Or just paying tribute to what you have you.
Or just doing a classier form of strip tease, right? Because the question was asked recently, I think in New Jersey, is a strip tease art? And the answer that was that the strip club that was trying to get itself declared an artistic venue so it could get out of paying $1 million worth of taxes.
Yeah.
Called in this reviewer and was like, we want you to tell us if this is art or not. And the guy said,
it's a fair question.
And the guy said, go ahead, Grace.
It's all right. You go ahead.
I was going to say, the guy said that, yes, it is art, but it's terrible art. was his review, and I think that's fair. I mean, it's on the very rare occasion I have been to a strip club, they have not been fun. Like, there's just, the atmosphere is not good. But a burlesque show, I mean, they're not all great, but as a whole, the atmosphere is much more positive. The performers, who are both men and women, are generally, much happier about what they're doing. They have a lot more, of a performance.
It's more about the performance than the end result.
Exactly. It's not just, let's go see some naked women, which also is certainly part of it. But there is
let's see how they can make taking their clothes off extra entertaining.
Exactly. Thank you. So I'm glad you're here. Because apparently I can't say an entire sentence without tripping over something today.
It's what I'm here for.
All right. So, Grace, what was your favorite act of the night?
Well, I had a few that stood out. I'd actually have to think about that a little bit. Can I go over my ones that I thought were the highlights of the show?
Oh, yes, please.
I thought that Bolt Action as Aquaman was just fantastic.
I will not disagree with you, Mr.
Fabulous attitude, fabulous performance, and just a really funny take on Aquaman in general, just sort of as the sort of as the Milhouse of the Justice League, but he really wants to be better than that, and he's going to express it through striptease to a song from The Little Mermaid, which was kind of a stroke of genius.
A Captain Boggs and Salty cover of a song from The Little Mermaid.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Attitude-wise, I thought Whisper de Corvo in her Loki act was just phenomenal. She was just fantastic to watch. Mm-hmm. She had wonderful moves, and she just really had that sultry feel that you would expect from the character, and she just delivered.
The lady's like 7 feet tall. I don't know if you noticed
that. Yeah, she's intimidating as hell. You really feel like she could knock you down.
I don't need to feel like she could. I'm positive.
Yeah. I thought that Scarlett O'Hara Dye's rogue act was pretty cute and pretty funny. That was just an amusing one to watch. Let me see. And I absolutely 100% have to say that Serafina Fierro and Olatsa Asin in their Alien vs. Predator act was one of the greatest burlesque acts I think I've ever seen, honestly. If you had told me you could do a sexy version of Alien vs. Predator, I probably would have thought you were crazy, but they did it. They made it goofy and campy, but at the same time, really, really fun and really seductive. And it was, it was great. They just both represented the characters in such unique ways that it was really genuinely fun to watch. And they both looked like they were having a great time doing it.
They did. And you know,
By doing it, I mean performing, of course.
That is, of course, what we mean.
Yes, of course. And the face hugger pasties were just a stroke of genius.
The thing that I thought that was great about that particular piece was that it avoided the problem of the actual movie Alien vs. Predator by having it be about the alien and the predator, right?
Yeah. Because
the problem with the movie was that it was all about the humans, and that's not what we came to watch.
Honestly, that 5-minute striptease was better than that entire movie.
Well, obviously, I'd say it was. I don't know. Okay, never mind. I can't think of a better example, way to state that. But yeah, it was really, really good. Some of the ones I gotta say, I really liked the MC.
Shifrika Mickey. Yeah, she was pretty great.
Especially because she made a couple. First of all, she was dressed as an Orion. So I guess there's a little bit of Star Trek in here. Oh man, look at that.
Which you were freaking out over.
I was. Well, when she started asking for Quatloos, I was like, all right, 10,000 Quatloos. You know?
Orin got her attention by freaking out.
I did.
It was pretty great.
It was awesome. She had a real stage presence. And, you know, she had that cool looking, like, spear prop. And the audience just really responded to her very well, I thought.
Well, she was totally dragged up, and she was totally playing that up, which really helped.
Definitely.
When you are the girl in the house full of women taking their clothes off with the biggest hair and the most glitter, you get some attention.
And the greenest face paint.
That too, yeah.
A good MC is really important for this kind of event, because I've been to shows where the MC has not been great, and even though the individual performances are still very good, it's like, you know, it's like between each performance you have like this, okay, and now let's wait for, well, the MC does their thing, and then, you know, you move on. But what a good MC will do is get you really primed for the next performance, because that's, you know, that's going to make a huge difference on how you interpret the piece, and, you know, and how much you enjoy yourself, right?
Yeah. Can I bring up two more performers that I really enjoyed?
Oh, please do.
I want to say that Morgan Le May as Elektra was just a really cool take on the character. And I liked how her music choice was kind of a throwback to the Daredevil movie, but in kind of a playful way. But she was also able to incorporate using Psy into her act. She did some fan dancing. Just overall, it was really beautiful and really fun to watch. And she knew how to use what she was working with. I gotta say, I was impressed. Usually you see someone going out there with a pair of fans, they end up looking goofy, but she made it look fierce. She made it look like, yeah, that's how Elektra would take her clothes off.
Yeah.
And
I was gonna say, I've seen her before, and she's always been good. Like, she's a very, very talented fan dancer, and she's a very good belly dancer, too.
Oh, yeah. And I want to say that Jezebel Vandersnatch as Felicia Hardy, Black Cat, really was able to draw the audience in.
Because the list of performers we got sent, it lists her as Felicia Hardy, and it's rude to list superheroes as their secret identities, because I don't read a lot of comics. I have no idea who Felicia Hardy is.
She's Black Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who Black Cat is, and, you know, Google told me, but it made me feel kind of stupid. I was like, who is Felicia Hardy? And I thought it was...
She's She's Spider-Man's perpetual cock tease.
Is she really?
And you felt that. She was definitely teasing up there, and it was hot stuff.
I thought that was Gwen Stacy.
No, she was his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
but also just props to Baby Lestrange for her, for all the enthusiasm she put into her Batgirl act.
Yeah, the Batgirl act was really, really fantastic, especially the lip syncing and the singing.
Yeah.
Because for a while it took me, like, I've seen a lot of these shows, but it took me a while to figure out if she was actually singing or not, because it sounded...
Are we talking about Batgirl, or are we talking about Black Cat again?
Apparently I've gotten them confused.
Because she was a very good lip syncer.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking of Black Cat.
Yeah.
Because they are not the same character.
No, not at all.
Same universe or IP.
Yeah, Jezebel Vandersnatch, she really oomphed it up there. She made it very hot, very sultry,
mm-hmm.
and just overall very enjoyable.
I was very impressed with Norse Goddess as Thor, because I saw
her... you said you'd seen her before, hadn't you?
I saw her back at the Whedon-esque burlesque show, and mm-hmm. honestly, I was not that impressed by her then. I did not think she was very good. But this time, I guess she's been practicing. She had a lot more energy. She just moved around a lot more. Her, shall we say, creative uses of the hammer were much more heartfelt.
There were some very creative uses of that hammer there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hammer's just begging to be used, really.
Oh, totally. It's, when you got a prop like that, you got to work with
use
it.
And, you know, she did a very good job there. Mm-hmm. Was she the one who was using the Rammstein song? Was that her?
No, that was Loki.
That was Loki, right. Loki was my favorite.
Yeah.
Whisper de Corvo, I think is how you say her name.
Yeah.
She was my favorite. I really liked her. Just the amount, like the intensity of her performance as she took her clothes off was really, really impressive.
She also kept just sort of doing that thing with her eyes where it was like, I will punish you if you come up here.
Right.
You know?
Of course, only made me want to go up there more, right?
Yeah,
that's how it works.
She had a very dominatrix attitude, which worked with the character very well.
Yeah, it makes... I very much
also the matching tattoos that Loki and Thor had were just kind of adorable.
Oh, I didn't notice those.
You didn't notice those?
No, I'm terrible.
They had matching I Heart Loki and I Heart Thor tattoos.
Oh man, that's awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I did not see that.
What show were you watching, dude?
Apparently I wasn't looking in the right place. That's all I'm going to say.
Not going to say anything.
I was looking at the horns, I mean, obviously. See those? She had this enormous headpiece. I mean, it was fantastic.
She was able to work it, yeah.
What did you think of the well, here Vixen Valentine is listed as Doctor Who, but she was really playing the TARDIS. How did you feel about that?
Well, I liked parts of it. I liked her act, I liked her costume, but the whole thing felt kind of like it wasn't tied together entirely. Like, what am I trying to say? It didn't feel very character or genre different. It felt like I'm going to dress up as a Doctor Who character and then take my clothes off to my humps and not tie it in at all together and not keep it thematic or anything.
Yeah, it started off really good because it was like just straight up using...
He was performing to the sound bites from the show.
Yeah.
And then it was just... And then it kind of got into the act where she was starting to do the tease and all that. And it's just like, what's going on here? This feels like a mishmash.
And she was using from the Doctor Who episode. I don't remember the name of it. Maybe is it called The Doctor's Wife?
Yeah.
Which is the one written by Neil Gaiman, which is probably my favorite of episodes since Matt Smith took over. I thought it was really, really good. And so she was able to use that in a cool way. I just wish that it had stayed more in theme as the act progressed.
Yeah.
And I also...
That was my main problem with it, too.
Say what now?
That was my main problem with it, too.
Yeah. I very much... There was also a Wonder Woman strip.
Yeah, Pepper Patootie.
Yeah, Pepper Patootie. And part of it... Now, this may just be feeling good in contrast, because I did happen to watch the SF Debris review of the canceled Wonder Woman television show.
Oh, God.
Canceled because it wasn't picked up, but thankfully not picked up. And, God, that show looked terrible.
The train wreck of a pilot.
And I was watching Pepper, you know, take off her Wonder Woman costume, and I was like, you know, this is a better pilot than that thing I just watched.
Yeah, it was.
I would film this and submit it as a pilot to NBC, and I'm sure they would take it.
It's amazing how a woman on stage, literally taking her clothes off, looked less like a porn star than the woman just running around in a bustier and leather pants.
Right.
Am I right?
And this is getting a little bit into the philosophical side of it, but that's one of the reasons why I really like burlesque is because I feel like burlesque is it's a celebration of sexuality. I mean, primarily women's sexuality, but also men's sexuality, as we saw with Bolt Action. And it's all about control, I think, right? Because there's always,
There's definitely a level of that,
well, and because I always, and maybe this isn't 100% correct all the time, but I always feel like with things like strip clubs and definitely with any kind of anyone working in the sex industry, there's always this idea that they don't want to be doing it. Like they're doing it because they have to, because they don't have choice. And you would never think that about a burlesque performer. Like the
No.
burlesque performers are up there, they are taking their clothes off, and they are showing you their bodies because they want to, and they're proud of them. And
And there was this whole idea that was really big, like I want to say in the early to mid 2000s, the idea that stripping and taking your clothes off was an act of empowerment, and like doing the Playboy thing was an act of empowerment, which feels like a really subjective idea that because you're expressing your sexuality one way, then you're empowering yourself by making yourself sexual to someone else. Which is really debatable. I mean, on one hand, we do have these women who are expressing themselves, having fun with it, and letting themselves feel sexy. But if you're gonna, one of the problems I have with that is that the original idea is that you're saying that there's only a certain way that women can be sexually empowered. And I'm not sure where I'm going with this. It's just kind of a subjective idea. There was a book about it, Female Chauvinist Pigs.
Right.
Which, while a little heavy-handed, is still worth a read if you're into feminist lib like me.
Well, with a name like Female Chauvinist Pigs, I can't imagine it being heavy-handed at all.
I know, right?
But I think, and part, I think what you were saying is like there's only one way for women to be sexy, and I think burlesque takes that idea and stomps it right into the ground.
Yeah, half the fun of the burlesque scene in Seattle is that you get women with all different body types, all different kinds of kinks and interests. And that's half the fun is the variety.
Yeah, and I mean just seeing what they come up with, because a lot of these performers are, they're also costume designers, or they have, very close friends who are costume designers, and they always come up with these very intricate costumes. And
Part of the fun of the burlesque thing, as opposed to the stripping thing, is the theatricality of the whole
yeah,
thing.
right.
I said thing like three times in a
Look,
row.
sometimes you got to say thing a lot, okay?
Thing. Thing.
We're dealing with a lot of theoreticals here, a lot more theoreticals than we normally deal with in Star Trek, which is a show partially about theoretical physics. So, don't ask me what's going on there.
What else?
So I was really happy to see the Candy Apples Agent Scully strip
Yeah, that was a very creative act, which was
because,
just funny.
and that's another one. That's one that really could have benefited, I think, from a partner. Because don't get me wrong, when I watch X Files, I'm watching it for Scully. I'm not watching for Mulder.
And Candy Apples was a is a very beautiful woman, and she was really having fun with the idea of Agent Scully having a secret alien fetish.
But I and I
Just really fun to
it
watch.
was but I really do
I
feel
do
like,
feel like she could have done more with it, though.
well, because much like Alien versus Predator is all about the interaction between the alien and the predator, the X-Files, at least the early X-Files, I can't swear that it's the same way later, but the early X-Files is all about the dynamic between Mulder and Scully. It's not really all that fun to watch when it's just one of them. There are some episodes that are like that, and you're kind of like, bring back the other one. So I really, really,
Even the episode that Stephen King wrote was like that.
I'm not sure which one that is, but I'll take your word for it.
It's the evil doll one.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'll do it. But yeah, and as much as I liked Candy Apple's act, and as much as she did look a lot like Gillian Anderson in that coat that's like three sizes too big for her.
The girl could work a tinfoil hat
Oh,
also.
well, no doubt.
How many times can you say that about an act like
Girl
that?
can work a tinfoil hat. I probably haven't heard it before. I'd be very surprised if I hear it again until the next, Emerald City Comic Con burlesque. Let's see. What did you think of the Star Wars one? Because I only saw about half of that because I had to run out to make sure that the car wasn't going to get towed.
Oh, sure you did. it was all right. I felt a little underwhelmed by it, I think. I liked the idea of it. I liked parts of the performance, but overall, I felt like it was kind of lacking.
I was a little bit disappointed because, like, I like the Vader strip. That's a good idea. I think that the slave Leia is a little bit lazy. It's like,
yeah, she was kind of falling back on what you'd expect, I think.
It's like, what's sexy about Star Wars? Slave Leia. Okay, let's do that. Whereas, you know, I've always liked the, because most of these other shows, right, took something that was just like the normal part of the show. The other acts took something that was a normal part of whatever they were burlesquing and made it sexy.
That's part of the fun.
The Star Wars one was kind of like, we'll take, you know, I'll take the thing that's already sexy, sort of, I guess, depending on if you like that sort of thing or not, and I'll just do that. But, and it's like, okay, well, that's, I like the Darth Vader part a lot.
Yeah. After that, it did feel like she was kind of falling back on what you'd expect, though.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And I'm a little sad, though. Apparently, we missed out on a Will Wheaton-themed act.
I saw that one back during the Whedon-esque. And it was, I think her rogue act was better, honestly. This is Scarlett O'Hare die. You gotta love these burlesque stars and their names.
I know, right?
They always have the best names. And yeah, I saw that one back in, like I said, back at Whedon-esque, and I did not think it was very good. But then again, I didn't like the Thor act either, so maybe it would have improved. But I would have to say, I think her rogue act was probably a little bit better.
Her rogue act was pretty adorable, yeah.
That was my particular, opinion on that.
And the fact that they kept referencing Cartoon Gambit just added some of the tongue-in-cheekness to it.
Oh yeah, I mean, the Rogue Gambit love story is one of the best things about that cartoon series.
Pretty much, yeah. And just, it had a great punchline to the end of the act also. Should I give that away or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, you probably should. I don't imagine that our listeners are going to have a chance to see it.
The whole act is her pretty much making out with and taking her clothes off to her framed picture of Gambit, and in the end of her with her pulling a deck of cards out of her panties. And her delivery is just really great. And she just, once again, looked like she was having a lot of fun with it.
Well, that's I've worked with a couple of burlesque stars just, you know, backstage and stuff, and they are really having a lot of fun. So that's, you know, it's the...
And when that shows in your act, that's when you're really doing it right.
Right. And I mean, you know, they encourage a lot of, you know, a lot of feedback from the crowd. And by feedback, I mean a lot of cheering and shouting and hooting.
No kidding.
Which is, you know, sort of the go-to for Seattle burlesque. I don't know if it's exactly the go-to for other places burlesque. I've only seen a little bit of burlesque outside of Seattle, but...
Yeah, what was it that Shafrika McGee said at the beginning? This is not the ballet. We expect hollering.
Yeah, they throw me out when I do that at the ballet.
Well, what shows are you going to?
I have not seen a ballet for years. I think I saw a ballet when I was like...
Obviously. One of the wrong ones.
When I was 10, maybe, I saw a ballet. I mean, there is a, if you want to see about a burlesque ballet, there is the burlesque Nutcracker that they do every year.
Yeah, I have heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I think that, personally, I think the burlesque Alice in Wonderland that they do every once in a while is a lot better. That one's a little bit earlier, but it's like one of the other really big shows, and I really like it.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's one question, because I was hoping Lillian would join us, but then she fell asleep.
Yeah.
She had a question that I thought was interesting, because at the show, we saw there were a bunch of flyers, and there were three more, like, sort of nerd-esque burlesque shows coming up. One of them, there's the Neil Gaiman one, which is actually happening right near Lillian's birthday, so that's convenient. there's the Middle Earth one.
Yeah, that, the... Minxes of Middle Earth, right?
And then there's a...
I think that's... I could go for seeing that. I would be interested in seeing how they would interpret that.
And then, of course, there is the... there's the Behind the Blue Door, which is a Doctor Who...
Yeah, the upcoming Doctor Who show.
Right. And I mean...
Which I actually have a friend who's in, so...
Oh, really?
Momo Levine, if you see her. She's awesome.
Well, good for her. Good luck.
Yeah.
And break a leg, I suppose I should say that instead.
break a pasty? I don't know.
Yo.
Break a garter. I don't know.
I would definitely, I'm probably going to end up seeing all three. But the question that Lillian wanted to ask us was, what kind of other, you know, genre works, you know, science fiction and fantasy would we like to see made into a burlesque show? And, I mean, obviously Star Trek is up there for me.
Star Trek is one of the go-to ones, isn't it?
Yeah, and there is a science fiction burlesque show that has a little bit of Star Trek in it, but, I mean, there's, obviously, Star Trek has a huge amount of, you know, of episodes to choose from and a huge number of characters. So I think that you could, you know, there you could just go down the list and not ever run out of interesting characters to do.
No kidding.
So, you know, Star Trek being the kind of the almost the lazy answer, because, I mean, you know, the Picard strip, the Data strip, the, you know, the Jensen.
Picard strip. How would that even go?
I imagine...
Would you pull out a flute or...
No, I imagine if it's...
Would you wear a bald cap?
Yeah, I'm imagining if it's a girl comes on with a bald cap looking like Picard, and then, like, has, you know, the uniform, and then maybe at the end she tears off the cap and, like, her hair is, like, really big and, like, it, you know, falls around her head.
Engage.
Yeah, and, you know, and if it's a guy, you'd probably do something different. Obviously, I mean, Sulu is just begging to be burlesqued.
Pretty much.
You know, probably could get...
It's a general thing I'd like to see. I'd like to see more male stuff put into acts like this, because usually when if you have something nerd-themed like this, people will just assume you only want to see the girl performers,
yes.
But there's an opportunity being missed there.
No, and that's sorry, go ahead.
That's part of why the idea of a Middle-Earth-themed burlesque sounds really funny to me, because it's primarily male characters,
yes.
So either we're going to see... some drag kinging, or we're gonna see some dudes up there.
Hopefully both.
Yeah.
And there are to be fair, there are a number of extremely talented boylesque performers in Seattle.
Ben de la Creme, yeah.
Well, Ben de la Creme is amazing. Waxy Moon is really good.
And now Bolt Action.
Say who?
Bolt Action.
Oh, Bolt Action, yeah.
Aquaman, and, dude.
You know, there's a few of my personal favorites who are people like The Luminous Pariah and Trojan Original. They're all really good.
Ooh, yeah.
I personally would love to see Trojan Original do a Malcolm Reynolds strip, because he already looks like Nathan Fillion. Come on.
A little bit, yeah.
He
was fantastic in the Disney After Dark show I saw last year.
I did not get to see that because I'm a bad person.
It was a wonderful show, and he kicked ass.
Yeah, but
it was just some of the best Disney princess-themed taking your clothes off ever.
And, I mean, while we're on the subject, can I maybe get Fuchsia Fox to do River Tam? I'm just saying.
Ooh.
Fuchsia Fox, for anyone who doesn't know who she is...
Google her.
She has a number of web pages that you will find, but she was voted the sexiest belly dancer in Seattle. About a year back,
which is no mean feat.
Yeah, and there are a lot of very talented belly dancers competing for that slot. So she does belly dancing and she does burlesque, and she's very good at both of them. She has a wonderful little roller skates act.
What do you want to bet that as soon as this goes online, we're going to get a bunch of this just isn't a wholesome podcast anymore responses?
Look, half our listeners also listen to GNT, so they don't get to complain.
Yep.
I'm probably going to, because I'm going to be putting a lot of links to these performers' websites if I can find them, because not all of them have websites, which is unfortunate, but the ones that do or have MySpace or Facebook profiles, I'll be putting links and maybe some pictures. So that I'll probably put a big not safe for work label on the download option. But I mean, actually, listening to the podcast, that's completely safe for work. We haven't said anything, you know, inappropriate. Not really.
I guess.
Only a little bit. Although,
come to think of it, there's only two performances we haven't mentioned yet from the show.
Yeah, well, there was the Ivy Dupree did a Harley Quinn performance, which I really, really wanted to like.
Yeah, she's a fun character. She's a sexy character with a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy Dupree is a really beautiful performer, but it just didn't really click.
Right. I mean, and I've seen Ivy Dupree do things that worked before, so I know she's a talented performer. And what she did was she did a reverse strip where she comes out basically naked, just in the pasties. And then she slowly puts her costume back on.
She, it was pretty much her gearing up for a fight, but.
And I've seen that work, but it's tricky. And like I saw Waxy Moon do a reverse strip. That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, under a lot of other circumstances, I think it could have worked. It just did not come together.
Yeah, I think that it was just from where I was standing, the biggest problem was that it felt like she either had too much music or her timing was off, because it felt like she got to the end of the act and there was still music and she spent a lot of time not doing anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't really that long in real time, but when you're, you know, doing like a 3 or 4 minute act, you know, every second feels like a long time, right?
Yeah. You can cut your music, and she didn't seem to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, it was the last.
Which is a shame, because.
It was the last.
Which is a shame, because it's a song.
You go ahead, Grace.
Which is a shame, because it's a song I like, and a character I like, so I really would have liked it to work out. It just didn't seem to work very well.
Yeah. And I
also, it felt like she was getting a little too serious for Harley Quinn.
Yeah, it could have done a little bit more bounce to it. Then there was, you know, it was the last show of the run, second show of the night, so maybe her timing was just off.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm willing to give her that.
Yeah.
What was the other one we haven't talked about?
Moist. Lady Drewblood is Moist.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, the Moist one, that was one of the ones that I saw at the Whedon-esque show, and to give you an idea of how much better this one was than the Whedon-esque show, Moist was one of the highlights at the Whedon-esque show, and this one, she was just kind of average, I thought. She was decent, but she didn't super stand out to me.
She did give a fun performance, though. It was creative.
Yeah, I mean, the water effects were definitely very good, and by water effects, water. I say water effects like some kind of, you know, laser show or CGI or something. No, I just...
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that did...
Everything under her costume was wet. That's all we'll say.
You know, just with water. and it, you know, so that did work very, very well.
And some creative use of electric tape there.
Yeah, a little bit.
She didn't use much of it, though.
Well, I mean, you know, how much are you going to use for that? Realistically, how much are you going to need for what she needed?
I'd probably need more than she would, so.
Well, that's a possibility. But okay, so that pretty much covers all the performers. I do want to give out a shout out to Sabrina Sabrett. Is that how I say it? Sabina Sabrett, and Honey Bush, who were the two
pickup kittens.
And pickup kittens are, in a burlesque show, you end up with a lot of costumes on the floor. So you typically have some younger people, or at least less experienced people, who are just going around to pick stuff up. And Honey Bush was dressed as Tiana Troy, which I loved. And then Sabina was dressed as Leela.
Which was pretty cute, with her giant feathery ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a shout out to them. And so this was the weird thing about this show was that it was produced with basically in conjunction with the Tempting Tarts burlesque troupe. And a lot of these performers are people who perform with the Tempting Tarts. But you would not know that by just trying to look up the show. Like I had, the only way I was able to get this list of performers was by basically, I happened to know some people who do burlesque. And I was like, hey, do you know who was in this show? I want to do a review on them. So I was very surprised that, like, the only way I found out it was connected with Tempting Tarts was that, like, at the actual event, there was a little, like, note on the poster that said, you know, via Tempting Tarts burlesque. And I do think that there probably should have been a little bit better publicity on this one.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, there's a lot of these performers have done really cool stuff in the past. And so anyone who's thinking, hey, should I go see the Emerald City Comic Con burlesque show? If they Google it and they see this list of performers, they're going to be like, oh, well, I've seen these people before. They're great. And
it felt like it was very specifically geared toward, you know, people who were attending the con, though.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Although, I mean, tickets weren't included with your con ticket, right? You had to.
Yeah, no. I still owe you, don't I?
Yeah, a little bit. It's okay. For every episode of Deep Space Nine you watch, I will take off $1.
Okay.
Well, you've already seen all of them. That doesn't.
Not all of them?
Okay.
Most of them.
Well, every episode of Deep Space Nine you watch, I'll take off $1.
Sweet.
This is my official offer.
I take it.
But,
would have been a real challenge if it had been, like, Enterprise or something, but no.
I'll take off $5 if you'll watch A Night in Sickbay.
I'll think about it.
No, you want to.
We'll talk later.
Okay, so that was the show. It was really good. Grace, do you have anything else you want to say on the matter?
Nope, just that it was overall good times.
All right.
I can't wait to see what they do next year.
Yeah, me too. I am definitely going to the show next year, although I will probably not be going to the convention, which is weird. I mean, I don't read a lot of comics, is kind of what it comes down to. But I do really, really enjoy the show. So
yeah.
With that in mind, this is All Things Trek, signing off.